Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to another edition of Life Behind Bars. I'm Noah Rothbaum, the Daily Beast half full editor. Joining me, as always, is my colleague and co-host, David Wondrick.
Lovely to be here, as always.
Welcome. Today we have a festive holiday theme. It is Thanksgiving time once again.
I can't think of a better excuse to drink.
Or one day when you really need a drink.
That's right. That's right.
I don't have any stats on it, but I imagine most people probably look forward to at least a can of beer, glass of wine.
It could even be every time you nip into the kitchen to check the beans, right. There might be a bottle in the cupboard above the stove you're addressing yourself to.
Alcohol probably helps the whole day get done and makes it palatable, makes dry turkey seem to taste a lot better.
It does, except for the, the stereotypical uncle.
Falls asleep at the table.
Yeah. Drooling in the mashed potatoes. Oh, well.
You can overdo it.
Yeah, you can.
You can be overserved.
It's a part of a lovely Thanksgiving as well.
Yeah.
A moderate and pleasant and not desperate Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. I mean, all joking aside, I think that Thanksgiving is a holiday all about rituals and family traditions, and everybody has a certain side dishes that they all make every year. And
oh, absolutely.
They enjoy, and God help you if you forget to make one, or if it gets burned, then, you have a real crisis on your hands. Parting great thanks to you and your book, Punch. We now always make punch, on Thanksgiving, and I think that's a great beverage to serve because, A, it feeds a crowd. You can make it beforehand. It's festive. As soon as people walk in the door, you're making a million different things. So there's really never a time, the one day that you really don't want to play bartender.
No, absolutely. You've got other things to worry about. I usually will make a bowl of punch and, it's going to be a light punch. I'm not going to make something like the infamous Chatham Artillery Punch, which is equal parts bourbon, rum, right. Cognac,
right.
Sweetened lemon juice, and then 4 parts champagne.
Sounds delicious.
It's delicious. It's a bit much.
Well, if anybody's after you take your nap after Thanksgiving, you wake up, you invite all of your friends and neighbors over, then you have it or the next day.
It's good with the leftovers. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, no, but that's a good New Year's punch.
I do think that some of the richer, bourbon, cognac kind of nice for the season. Mm-hmm. I often will do something like citrus or maybe, some kind of pomegranate or something. Mm-hmm.
I try to keep it really simple for when I make it. I make a New England rum punch.
Okay.
Lemon juice, lemon peel, sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Equal parts, say 1 part lemon juice, 1 part sugar, and I've peeled some of the lemons and left them overnight in the sugar so it extracts the oil.
So-called oleosaccharum.
Exactly. And then 4 parts rum. And I'll use a really good, rich Jamaican-style rum, something funky like, Smith & Cross or something with some...
Appleton. I don't know.
Appleton's makes, some real good ones.
Yeah.
And it'll have a lot of flavor to it. And then I'll add 5 or 6 parts water to that.
Yeah. I do like the idea of using bubbly. Instead of water, it makes it a little bit more.
It depends on
a royal punch, right? And you make, it gives it a little festive, flair. It is Thanksgiving, people.
Well, my mom's family's from New England. We don't do festive. we like it just real plain.
Very grim.
No, it's not grim at all. It's just simple.
Simple. All right.
That's make true. Something they're going to like.
Yeah.
And, my mom's in her 80s and is from New England, so I like a very simple rum punch as well.
Right.
And so I'll probably make a little, simple rum punch, and it'll be very pleasant. Light, though. When you make punch, especially for something like this, you want it to be the strength of wine, not the strength of a cocktail, because people are going to be serving themselves.
Right.
And you let people serve themselves wine. Right. So you can let people serve themselves punch.
And it's also a long affair.
It's too a session.
Long, you might say.
Yeah, you might.
Typically, you know, you gather, you know, sometime, I don't know, in the early afternoon, and, yeah. you know, you're there for a long time.
You so are.
You want, you know, what beer geeks would call a session beer.
Exactly.
You want, you know, kind of a session drink, you know, almost like a fortified wine of sorts.
And, you know, I default to punch because the traditional WASP drink for this thing would be right. martinis.
Right.
And I'm not going to serve that.
Over the years, what Beaujolais Nouveau has made always a big push yeah. for around that time, yeah, yeah. which is nice
that works
and light.
Fine. Yeah,
nice and light red wine, yeah. fruity. Depending upon what kind of Thanksgiving it is. But, you know, for me, you know, I try to make it, you know, fun and give people something that they might not normally drink that pairs well with, you know, appetizers
oh,
or turkey.
Yeah.
I think turkey, if anything, is probably, you know, especially sparkling wine pairs very well with turkey and poultry and a lot of the Thanksgiving stuff. And that's not something, you know, that's part of the traditional Thanksgiving.
No.
Something that's a little bit fun and.
Well, I look back to the 18th century, you know, sort of the classic era of punch. And if you look at old engravings of people drinking punch, there's the punch bowl on the table. There's also bottles of wine.
Right.
So you could switch back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they'd be about the same strength.
Yeah.
You know, so you, not one isn't going to overpower yeah. the others. And it's a little bit of variety. So yeah. I like to have that.
I like to follow like aperitivo, digestivo, you know. Mm-hmm. I think most people come hungry to Thanksgiving. So like the aperitivo, you don't really have to worry about since they already have probably been fasting, you know,
yeah,
skip
yeah.
breakfast, you
yeah.
know. But the digestivo part, I think we could all certainly use after you're literally, no pun intended, stuffed. You know, I think sometimes a little bit of a Amaro or
a, you know, Calvados, an Armagnac
yeah,
or something
Armagnac,
like that.
Cognac.
Yeah, something with a little bite to it is always
yeah.
good.
Makes room for dessert. Yeah. It may knock you out.
Yeah, but you're going to be knocked out anyway.
I was
going to
say,
yeah.
there's a pleasant way there,
yeah.
you know, as you... Yeah. As the football game, you know, drones on,
mm-hmm.
you can just sort of ease into a nice nap, you know, after
yeah,
your,
I'll go into
your
a,
cognac.
I'll get out the Amaro Nonino or
right,
something
exactly.
like that, something Italian. And the other half of my family is Italian. And so I make,
right.
I might not make turkey. I might not have so much tryptophan in
right.
me. You know?
I was going to say that the classic Thanksgiving cocktail of one part tryptophan, one part Amaro.
Yeah.
That
will knock you out. That'll knock you dead.
You sleep
yeah.
beautifully.
Yeah. I might make, you know, like veal saltimbocca instead of turkey,
yeah.
something like that.
My mom has tried. She doesn't love the whole turkey idea. For a long time, we were trying different things.
Well, you reach a certain age. You've eaten a lot of Thanksgiving turkey.
It's true.
You know, and
it's,
I start to think, maybe I'll make something else.
You know, my wife is a real traditionalist, so,
yeah.
you know, that's, you know, crazy talk.
It depends on how many people you have to
right,
feed also,
true.
You know.
Well, that is the beauty of turkey. It feeds.
Yeah. Feeds
it feeds
army.
A crowd. I mean, for the most part, once you get through the disgustingness of taking out the frozen giblets and stuff
yeah, yeah.
and washing, I mean, it's
unless
sort
you
of,
don't, which
right.
I've seen people do.
In the packing.
I've been to those Thanksgivings.
Oh.
Oh, I thought it was stuffed already.
Right. That's when you want a punch that has maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long
that's
day.
That's when I want to rinse my mouth out
right.
with bourbon.
Right, exactly. Oh.
Oh, you're not very good at this.
Right.
That was years yeah, ago when we were
course.
All young.
Of course.
You go to your friend's Thanksgiving.
We've all been at that Thanksgiving that once
yeah.
or twice.
Yeah. yeah.
Then you learn that the neck should be thrown away and not cooked
yeah,
in the middle of turkey.
Exactly. And plastic bags aren't such
no,
good,
no,
not good flavoring for
no,
turkey.
Not so
no,
good.
No. What's that burning smell?
At least in New York, some of the takeout is still available.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah.
They'll get a pizza, hopefully.
Yeah, thank God for our hardworking ethnic restaurants.
Amazing. It is the marathon of,
yeah.
you know, of holidays. And nobody, you know, it's one of these things where, really, once the food is done, I mean,
mm-hmm.
you're working. If you're hosting, it's hard work.
It's hard
know?
Work.
On top of that, you don't want to be making mink juleps or,
no.
you know,
and
caipirinhas for everybody. But
the interesting thing is there is no traditional
no.
Thanksgiving drink that we all know, you know.
That's the
it's
craziest thing,
not like Christmas,
right?
you've got Tom and Jerry and eggnog
no.
or traditional. We don't have that for
I
Thanksgiving.
Mean, for God's sakes, we have a drink for the Kentucky Derby, but
yeah.
not for Thanksgiving.
No, Thanksgiving, it's drink what you like.
Right. You know, you have all the dishes that are, you know, sacrosanct. Some of them are god-awful. Some of them are
yeah.
delicious. But really, you're on your own.
Yeah.
I mean, there's literally no guidance.
go back to the first Thanksgiving in 1621 with the Massachusetts colony.
Right.
And that was even before punch was invented.
Right.
You know, punch was being invented around then, literally halfway right. across the world in the right. East Indies.
Right.
So they didn't have that. They probably had pumpkin beer. Right. You know, they whatever beer they could make there.
And even though, obviously, they were Puritans and their yeah. puritanical nature.
They drank beer, though.
Absolutely. I was going to say the Mayflower was stocked with beer, and wasn't that one of the big crises?
That's why they stopped where they did. They ran out of beer. Hey, I mean, beer was a part of everyone's diet in England.
Right.
You know, it wasn't considered like an intoxicating drink. They had strong ale, which if you wanted to go out and get drunk, you'd go out and drink strong ale, or you could drink wine. But,
right.
But regular beer was in place of water.
In place of water, because, I mean, obviously the first step in making beer is
boiling. It's like my college roommates.
Right. First step, obviously, making beer is boiling the water.
Yeah.
Obviously, they didn't realize that killed, you know, all of these diseases. Mm-hmm. And also, it's very nutritious. Up until fairly recently, you have all of these famines, even in Europe,
you know,
where people are undernourished, and this is a way of, you know, adding calories.
Beer is calories. Yeah, beer is liquid diet. Bread.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. People needed that, which is also why people are drinking beer at all times the day.
I mean, yeah.
They weren't drunks. They
No, were, I mean, the beer wasn't particularly strong, and they were used to it. And also, they didn't have heavy equipment to operate. They didn't have to drive. They had horses who drove themselves.
Right.
You know, it was a little bit simpler. You could be a little bit tipsy.
Old Uncle Angus driving the oxen through the window again.
Yeah, the oxen aren't going to go through the window. No. You know, you can't drive them like that.
Oh, right through the garage door, the oxen again.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, funny. The next stage in Thanksgiving is 1860s when it becomes declared a holiday. And by then you had the American Temperance.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Movement moving fairly strong, and the kind of people who would keep Thanksgiving as a holiday were probably not going to break out huge bowls of brimming punch and turn it into a Dickensian like Fezziwigs party holiday. You know,
it's interesting. I mean, we treat the holiday with such reverence in America, and you know, it's such a tradition and so historical. But it blew my mind when I found out that we didn't start celebrating it 200 years.
Yeah.
I mean, give or take. One of those few holidays where I'd say most people don't work in America, which is getting ever more, you know, rare. But like, really, Thanksgiving is one of those holidays where everybody is
now,
home.
I mean, it's a sacred holiday these days. Yeah.
God forbid you get into a debate about how to make gravy with somebody, you could lose an eye. You know? Having to go to like three grocery stores to find ingredients, you know. That,
yeah, it's. I mean, it's a big commitment.
Buy your marshmallows early. That's all I'm going to say. If you want that crazy casserole, beer is an option, but it's so filling that it's a little.
That's where you run into beer as a problem. You know, it's a nice break. I like to have a little of everything around. If I'm cooking, I like to drink beer.
Yeah.
Beer is good when you're cooking, you know, it's refreshing, it's hot in the kitchen, you're working. I wouldn't serve it with the dinner, personally.
But, and I'd say a lighter beer, you know, you want lower alcohol, lighter or something.
And the same with wines, you know, I'm not going to go like the major old Bordeaux and Burgundies and things like that. I might go for like a Cote de Rhone or something like that. Lighter, a little less intense, get into some of the Italian wines. Mostly reds, I think. For me, but some people like whites. I've had Riesling with turkey works out pretty nicely.
Yeah, it was champagne works, rosé.
Champagne works with everything. Yeah.
I mean, as much as I'd like to say, you know, given the nature of the holiday, that we should go with New World wines. Mm-hmm. it seems a little odd to get Old World wines. I think the worst thing, you know, could be is a huge, overpowering Cabernet from California.
I agree.
And, it really would, I think, given how much food is consumed, it would knock you out.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to go, maybe a nice Pinot Noir from Oregon.
Yeah, something like that. You know, yeah, the lighter reds,
some
of the more acidic whites, not the sweet whites, you know.
Or even something, you know, something like a Grenache, a Petit Verdot, one of those kind of more herbaceous wines.
That would pair work beautifully.
Really, you know, with the nice.
Yeah. And then after, you know, after dinner, that's when I will break out a nice cognac or an Armagnac or, you know, just to be heretical, a fine sipping rum, even, you know, mezcal.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. Given that that part of your family is Italian, would you ever drink grappa after is too much?
Or? I would if I could keep it in the house. All right. I don't really have a lot of grappa at the house. That's sort of moving towards that idea of mezcal, is, you know, something a little
palate cleanser kind of.
Yeah, something a little more medicinal in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, that than a big mellow oak aged thing.
Yeah.
Something white and maybe with a little fire to it.
Wake you up.
Something that's
a little heat.
Yeah, you know, a little heat is not a bad thing, you know.
No. Stave off that nap that's coming.
Yeah, you want something stimulating, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's when your Fernet Branca comes in handy.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah.
Or even the little bottles of Underberg.
It's a funny kind of holiday because you have the big meal in the early afternoon where most of us don't normally have like a 3-4 course meal in the afternoon. But then you get that like early evening. It almost opens up into another Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, where you—that's when you—you know—you go and pick at the carcass,
right, exactly.
And, you know, maybe take some of the stuffing and refry it in a pan.
Exactly. Yeah, like, you make a sandwich. You at that point, you're maybe getting a little hungry. And I think sometimes, you know, for me, you know, a little ginger beer, spicy ginger beer,
something like that is
dark
good.
And stormy. You know, again, refreshing.
Especially if you're, you know, if you're watching, you know, Thanksgiving movies or a game or something.
Yeah,
you might want something sessionable.
Almost feel like then it's like you get back into the cocktail, like the more kind of bubbly.
Why not just have a martini?
Or that too. I was going to say highballs, but martinis too.
Something like really just cutting and, you know, so the scalpel,
right.
You know, that's not a bad
what
time
pairs
for that.
What better with a silly Thanksgiving movie? Martinis.
Martinis.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring out a pitcher.
Yeah, exactly. You know, why not?
You're not doing anything else for the rest of the night, that's for sure.
And the funny thing is that nobody can say boo, right? Because there is literally no Thanksgiving
There's no rules.
Yeah. Right, there's no rule. I mean, you want to serve margaritas, go for it. You know... mezcal, go for it.
You know your people.
Right. It's a funny thing that way. I don't know if any drink really pairs with pumpkin pie, but, you know.
I mean, one of my favorite Thanksgiving memories was my wife's father, when he was alive, was this crusty school teacher in Laguna Beach, California.
Okay. A beautiful spot for a Thanksgiving.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful, though.
Yeah.
He had a front porch that looked up on high on a hill, looked over the ocean.
Surfing
that family put together a hell of a Thanksgiving dinner. It wasn't Thanksgiving unless you were lying on the floor groaning afterwards. And I'm not kidding. And we'd all just be lying there for half an hour just going, oh, my God, what have we done? And then we'd get up and sit out on the porch. And he loved Sierra Nevada beers.
Oh, yeah.
And this was in the late 80s, early 90s. And we would sit out on the porch drinking Sierra Nevada porter and watching the sunset over the ocean. And you can't beat that. You know, that's one of my favorite Thanksgiving memories. Now, is a couple bottles of porter maybe the perfect thing to put in your stomach when you've been lying on the floor groaning just previously? Maybe not.
Right.
But on the other hand,
It worked.
It totally worked. It was beautiful.
This year, I was thinking if I have the stamina, if I'm not totally zonked out, serving Irish coffee after
oh, there you go.
We talk a lot about Dale DeGroff, or the father of the rebirth of the cocktail, but most bars, even the Dead Rabbit, you know, the Irish bar in New York is famous for their Irish coffee, but it's not really a thing that people drink in Ireland, really.
Not so much.
So when Jack and Sean, you know, obviously if you're going to open an Irish bar in America, in New York, you definitely need to be able to serve
if Irish you want to be the best Irish bar
you
for
have
cocktails.
To, right, you have to serve Irish coffee. So they turned to Dale, and, you know, I've talked to him at length about his Irish coffee, and it's unbelievably good. I think part of the secret is that people always put in too much whiskey.
Yeah.
Like it's not supposed to be boozy.
You need a small glass for it is the secret.
Small glass, not that much booze, maybe. I think maybe about half an ounce or so.
It's a little more.
Maybe three quarters of an
ounce. Yeah, it's an ounce.
But to a good amount of coffee.
Yeah.
Like it's not, some people put, you know, more whiskey than coffee, and obviously
it's not
good. Reversed.
Yeah.
He also does like a brown sugar syrup, like a simple syrup with brown sugar, which adds a real...
And he sweetens the coffee, not the cream, you know.
Right, exactly.
And then you beat the cream
Like real,
you have to beat it fresh.
Right. I mean, and hopefully you're doing that for pie anyway, right? Yeah. Or some of the desserts.
And you beat it fresh and you just layer it on top. Right. So it's this cool, not sweet layer of.
Exactly.
It's the lightest cream, you know, it's not the heaviest cream. Oh, now I want an Irish coffee.
Right. Me too. It's sort of the perfect thing, though, because, you know, in our house, you know, my wife will often make fresh whipped cream for the different desserts. So, I mean, look, you're already making fresh whipped cream for the desserts. You should put a little bit on your coffee, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
and layer
and
it on.
And, you know, obviously after your big meal, you know, we like to serve, you know, coffee. Many people do. Mm-hmm. You've got the fresh cream. You've got good coffee. Just a little whiskey, you know. And then, you know, you can whip up the brown syrup.
You could make it in a white wine glass is probably the right size, you know. Yeah. Don't make it in a mug. Yeah. A stemmed glass you don't burn your hands.
Right, like about 3 ounces of coffee to like 1 ounce maybe.
1 ounce of whiskey, 1/2 ounce of brown sugar syrup, 3 ounces of coffee, and there's room for just a half an inch of cream on top, and that's plenty.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful treat.
And you just layer, you spoon the cream on top.
And what's nice about that is that obviously you get the coffee, you get the sweetness of the cream.
Yeah.
There's just a hint of booziness, you know, like most places you order Irish coffee. Like, I mean, it's like a 4 ounce shot.
Bitter.
And it's the coffee has been sitting there for, you know, 7 hours.
Yeah, and then
it's the cream is from a can. This is sort of the perfect. Again, it's.
Yeah. And it's 2.5 to 3 ounces of coffee,
This isn't an everyday drink, but this is for special occasions. Yeah. And I'd say Thanksgiving of all days.
And you know what? You can make it with decaf and nobody's going to complain.
I'm going to try to do it.
It's a nice dessert in and of itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or you could also make hot whiskey, the Irish style, which is whiskey, you know, 1.5 ounces of good Irish whiskey, something rich and pot stilled, preferably.
Yeah.
And then a spoonful of sugar. Then you add 3 ounces of boiling water and a lemon, a slice of lemon that's been studded with cloves.
Oh, interesting.
It's really simple, but that's what they drink in Ireland, you know. And that's a lovely, especially if it's a cold Thanksgiving. Yeah. I used to go to my grandparents in Maine for that.
Oh,
Then it was cold. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did I get hot Irish whiskey? Hell no. We might get a little Jamaica rum. They were New Englanders.
Right.
You know.
Go out to that Thanksgiving parade in New York. You know, you're all bundled up, freezing. The last few years, it's been very cold. You know, hats, scarves.
Well, that's when
a thermal
flask full of hot Irish, of hot whiskey like that wouldn't be a bad thing.
Right. Our conversation is actually making me optimistic about the drink options for Thanksgiving. It's usually, you know, sometimes at a loss as to what to serve. It seems kind of daunting to come up with something as grand as the meal.
I'm looking forward to it, you know.
Yeah, me too. I think any kind of big holiday celebration, it's a nice excuse to open something that you've been saving, you know, something good it always tastes better drinking with friends and family.
It does.
And on a good occasion. Happy Thanksgiving to
you. And a happy Thanksgiving to you and to you all.
Absolutely. We'll be back with another episode of Life Behind Bars. Cheers.
Cheers.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.